Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements. With the fall being here, there are more activities that start to pick up. Just a few things to highlight. This afternoon, the youth will be painting crosses, and that's in the fellowship hall from 2 to 4. Cradle Workshop is starting back up again then too, and they meet in the lounge in the educational building every second Tuesday of the month. And let's see, on September 18th, there will be a potluck, so I'm sure you won't want to miss that. And I think we've got a couple more announcements. Kathy, you want to go?
Good morning. I just wanted to highlight again that on September 26th, from 12 to 2, we will be having the flu clinic here at the church in the fellowship hall. If you do not have insurance, it's $25 for the flu shot. In addition, several vaccines are going to be offered as far as Moderna and Moderna and the Johnson & Johnson. We'll have the shingles vaccine and the pneumonia vaccine. There is a cost if you do not have insurance for the shingles and the pneumonia. Katie's done a wonderful job of adding the various costs in the bulletin, so please make note of that. If you have any friends in town that also want to come, please invite them as well. Thank you.
All right, Zoe?
Good morning. Just a reminder, next Sunday, there will be a high school student meeting in the chapel at the table during the Sunday school hour. And another reminder is the money wall for helping camp raise money for the camp for next year is still at the back of the church. So if you want to make a donation, you can. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Zoe. Are there any other announcements? Anybody else have announcements? If not, then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, As We Gather at Your Table.
Oh,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Holy is the Lord, the Almighty.
He was, he is, and he is to come.
He is worthy of glory and honor and power.
He created all things, by his will they came to be.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy to take the scroll and break the seal.
By his blood he purchased for God Christ made of them a kingdom,
and priests to serve our God,
and they shall reign on earth forever.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that pursuing what you have promised, we may share your heavenly glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing our next hymn, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, and we go through it twice. You may be seated.
Verse 7 through 14. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once. Your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I have commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of the calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he had planned to bring on his people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 51, verse 1 through 11. We will read it responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through my
For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight.
And so you are justified when you speak, and upright in your judgment.
Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb.
For behold, you look for truth deep within me, and will make me understand wisdom secretly. Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The second lesson is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I have acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord has overflowed for me with the grace and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of the full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I have received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ may display the utmost patience and make me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. I hear y'all, and just sit down.
I'll sit here today.
I may be sitting here for the rest of the service, but we're going to sit here today. Hey. All right. Well, it's good to see all of you this morning. All your happy faces, yeah, good to see you. All right, have y'all ever lost anything?
No.
Yeah, you've never lost anything?
But I have lost some things. I lost one thing that went to one of my drawing things. I got this little, like, it was like an iPad. It could go on a page.
Oh, you lost your...
I lost a little crown.
Oh, okay, you lost that part on it. Okay. Or how about... have you ever lost your favorite pillow or your blanket or your stuffed animal before bedtime? All right.
I left it in my backpack.
You left it in your backpack. Did you panic when you didn't see it?
Yes.
Yes. And so what happened? Did you start looking for it?
I started looking for it.
Yeah.
And I went to sleep because I couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it? Huh? You had to pick up the couch. You picked up the couch? Goodness gracious, you're strong. All right. You start looking for it, and your parents start looking for it, and everybody in the household starts looking for that because it's bedtime, and you want your blanket or your pillow or your stuffed animal so that you can go to bed and have a good night's sleep. Were you happy when you found it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Then you can go to sleep. The world was right again, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, I lose things every once in a while. I lose my car keys. I don't know where they went. Maybe my phone, or sometimes it's my glasses, and I can't find my glasses anywhere. I look all over the place, and I can't find my
glasses.
They're
on your head.
They're on my head. Okay. That's where they're at. All right. So, but what happens when you get lost? What happens if you, have you ever been lost?
Yes.
Okay, what are you supposed to do when you get lost? Well, no, there's actually a better thing to do than go looking for your parents. What do you do?
I one time got stuck in the bathroom at school.
Oh, you got stuck at the bathroom. All right. What?
I went to a lifeguard.
You went to a lifeguard. That's a good thing to do is to go to somebody in authority, whether it's a lifeguard or if there's a police person or a law enforcement person around. But the best thing you can do is just stay put where you're at. Because I guarantee your parents are going to come looking for you. When they realize you're not there beside them, they're going to come looking for you. Yeah.
You can only ask somebody if they have kids.
Okay, you can only ask somebody if they have kids. That's a good rule to remember, too. But otherwise, just stay where you are because your parents are going to come find you. All right? They're going to come looking for you. And if you're off wandering around looking, trying to find your parents, you don't. They don't know where you're at anymore. They're going to go back to the last place that you were. Uh-huh. You were yelling for them. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then they found you?
Yeah,
then they found you then.
My cat, but it was underneath my mom and dad's bed.
Okay. All right, so if you stay where you're at, your parents are going to come find you. You know, there's another way that you can get lost, too. Sometimes we're lost, we get afraid, or we don't know what's going on around us, and we get upset. And you know what we can do then? Is just stay where we're at and be quiet, and we can pray to God to help us. Because God is going to find us, too. God can always find us, no matter where we're at. He can come and find you and give you comfort so that you're not afraid, so that you're not worried anymore, so that you're not upset. He can come find you. Okay. All right, let's have a prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who comes and finds us when we are lost. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all can go sit down.
Bye, Pastor T.
Bye-bye. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you noticed in our readings today, all four of the readings hit one subject or hit one idea, and that is repentance. That we are in need of a Savior. We are in need of help. That we have sinned against God, we have sinned against each other, and we need to turn. Repentance means to turn around and go the other direction. In the Old Testament lesson, it was the story of the Hebrew people who made a golden calf to worship, and God was very angry. And so it was that conversation between God and Moses to bring about healing and repentance and what to do with these people who have turned away. In our psalm, it's a psalm of lament. It's a psalm of asking for forgiveness, making the claim that I am wicked from birth. From the very beginning, I am a sinner. And so we are in need of a Savior. And in the next second lesson then was Paul talking about how he was a persecutor of the church and how God changed his life and made him turn completely around and go in opposite direction. And then in our gospel lesson, the Pharisees were grumbling that Jesus would talk to sinners and that he would eat with them. And so he tells these two parables. In these parables, there are basically three different parts. The first part is being lost. In the first parable, a shepherd loses his sheep. A sheep wanders off. It is lost. In the other parable, a woman loses one of her coins. It is lost and puts her into a panic. We think about being lost. Our world is lost in so many ways. The violence in the world, drug issues, people are just simply angry. All the political turmoil that's going on. There's a war in Europe, wars other places. Christians are persecuted in certain countries. It's a mess. Our world's just a mess. Everything seems to be going crazy. We need help. Moral standards seem to be dropping. People aren't as pleasant as they used to be. People are angry. They're rude. They treat each other in terrible ways. Our world is lost. If we look at it just a little bit closer to home, here in our own community, I kind of figure, rough estimate, that on a Sunday morning or on the weekends, if you include Saturday worship services here in town, there's roughly, I would say, maybe 500 people in worship on the weekend. And that is out of thousands, several thousands of people here in town and the surrounding community. There's a lot of people who are lost. And a lot of those may be claiming a church, but they're not there. And there are also many within our own community who do not have a church home. You would think that they have all heard that message of Jesus Christ, but that's not true. They may have heard some stories, but they may have preconceptions as well then too. They have not heard it in a way that they can clearly understand it and believe. And then even closer to home, our own congregation. If you look around our congregation then too, on a given weekend, we have maybe, and this is being generous, we have maybe 20% of our congregation in worship on any given Sunday morning. So where's the other 80%? What is so important that they are not here? Now, I do understand that there are several who cannot make it here. They may be out of town on that particular Sunday. And then there's many who are in institutions, whether it's nursing homes or the hospital or our care centers. And then there are those who have essential jobs that they have to work on Sundays or Saturdays. And even if you're generous on that end, if that's 20% of the congregation, that still leaves another 60% of the congregation that is not here on Sunday mornings. Where are they? What are they doing? What is so important that they cannot come and be here for worship and give thanks and praise to God and lift up the community, lift up one another here in our worship? It'd be great. That would quadruple our worship services here. This place would be full. And as we look even more personal, we too are sinners. We too are lost. Every day we sin. Every day we go against God. Every day we choose ourselves rather than choosing God. We look at ourselves as number one rather than helping our neighbor. We are guilty. We are sinners. As the psalm said, we are sinners. We are wicked from birth. We are sinners from the mother's womb. We are in need of a Savior. We are lost. The second part of those parables deal with being found. In that first parable, the shepherd goes out. He leaves his 99 sheep, and he goes out, and he finds that one sheep that is lost. The second parable, the woman turns her house upside down, moving furniture, looking under carpet, sweeping the house until she finds that one coin that is lost. There is a persistence in that aspect of being found. I know several years ago, and I hear it on occasion then too, our sentiments to this effect, there was a bumper sticker that was out that said, "I found it." And what it was relating to was that I found Jesus. I have found my religion. I have found the truth. Our people make that claim, "I have found God." Or they ask the question, "Have you found God? Have you found Jesus?" For me, it doesn't make sense, because God's not lost. Jesus not lost. I'm the one who is lost. God doesn't get lost. God is the one who comes to find us. We don't go to find God. We are the ones who are lost. And God does that. He does exactly that. He goes to find us. He goes to all lengths in order to find us. He went as far as sending his own son into this world to become one of us. Jesus humbled himself, the Son of God, humbled himself to the point that he became a human. He became just like us, going through the hurts, the pains, the growing pains of being an infant, being born, of growing up, of dealing with people, neighbors, families, friends, strangers, all the hurts and pains of skinning knees and everything else that goes along with being human. And as Jesus grew up, though, he began his ministry. He was the one who went out and found the lost. He went out and called his disciples, "Come, follow me." And he taught them, he instructed them, he gave them the tools they needed to do ministry. He talked to the crowds. He talked to everyone he came in contact with. If they were on the wrong track, he would straighten them out. Just like our gospel text this morning, he's talking to the Pharisees here and giving these parables to say that God is happy when a sinner returns back to him. But Jesus is the one who has gone out and saved the lost. And he did that through that cross and that resurrection. going all the way up to the point of being rejected, of being arrested, of going on trial, and then going to the cross itself and dying for our salvation. But through that, and through that resurrection then, he has brought us up out of being lost. He has rescued us. He has saved us. He has brought us back to where we belong, to be in that kingdom of God. The third part of this parable then is the celebration. When the shepherd finds his sheep, he calls all his neighbors and his friends together. Come, come celebrate. Come celebrate. I lost that sheep that was found. The same thing with the woman. When she finds the coin, she has to tell everybody. She tells her friends and her families, come on. Come on and help me celebrate. I found that coin that was lost. I'm happy. The gospel says of how the angels rejoice when a sinner repents and returns back to God. When that sinner changes direction and finds God once again, or God finds him once again. There is a celebration. You know, it's something else that pops up when we look through these. These parables seem extravagant if you look at it. I think about that. If you lose an animal, and I know you love your animals, but do you immediately drop everything you're doing to go find your animal? Sometimes you need to, yes. But when you find that animal, you're happy that you found the animal, but at the same time, are you somewhat angry that that animal wandered off or got off or that it put you through so much trouble? Are you going to throw a party simply because you found your animal? It seems to be somewhat extravagant. Or the woman who loses the coin. She tears her house apart in order to find that coin. And then she throws a party because she found a coin. It seems very extravagant. But with God, this is extravagant because he goes to all lengths to find us. And it gives him joy when sinners repent and come back. It brings that happiness. You know, for us, the world is in a mess. We are lost. And the thing is, though, they're not going to come crashing into our church to be found. We are called followers of Jesus Christ, and he has given us that mission, that task, that opportunity to go out and find other people. Those who are unchurched are not all going to come crashing back through our doors. All those who are members here in this church are not going to fill this whole place up every Sunday morning. It's our responsibility to invite them back. It's our joy, even, to tell our story, to tell how God has touched our lives and why this is so meaningful for us to be here in worship, why it's important. All of us are witnesses. All of us tell our stories. And that's how God finds the lost. Jesus Christ finds us, and he brings us back into his fold. We too are called to go out and make disciples of all nations, bringing people back into his kingdom. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, "You Are My Hiding Place." Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us pray in the name of Jesus to our Heavenly Father for the church, the world, and one another. Heavenly Father, give your church the grace and desire to faithfully follow Jesus. Give it leaders who rightly proclaim your word. Give it your Holy Spirit so it is a place of welcome, forgiveness, and transformation for every sinner who enters it. Lord, in your mercy. Give your grace to this congregation. Forgive us when, like unruly sheep, we headbutt and distress your flock. Help us to repent of thoughtless words, self-centered actions, and anything else that hinders one of your dear children from loving and trusting you. Lord, in your mercy. On this day, we remember and grieve those who lost their lives in terrorist attacks. We thank you for those who risk and often gave their lives trying to bring safety and life out of chaos and death. We pray that hatred, violence, fanaticism, and injustice may cease throughout the world, and that your gracious and holy will should hold sway in every heart and in every land. Lord, in your mercy. Our nation continues to struggle with enemies within and beyond its borders, with discord, suspicion, and violence, and with a raucous political campaign that sometimes threatens to bring out the worst rather than the best in us. Shepherd us through these troubled times. Bring healing to our hearts, homes, and communities. Anoint our eyes to see one another as fellow citizens and as beloved children of the same Heavenly Father. And bring a measure of your peace to this weary world. Lord, in your mercy. Be merciful to all who are hurting, weak, abused, hungry, or grieving, or who in any way need the abundance of your grace. Be their good shepherd and bring them healing and hope. Especially, we lift before you Stanley Johnson, Lynn McGarrah, the family of Kenny Jacob, and for all those who mourn the loss of Queen Elizabeth. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the saints who now rest from their labors. Give us faith, like them, to love you with all our hearts, and by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. In the powers of the Holy Spirit, we entrust our prayers and petitions into your hands, gracious Father. for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we continue with the offering, you may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Rise, O Church, Like Christ Arisen. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.